Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you. Hey there, Peace and Parenting family. If you love the podcast but wish to enjoy it without interruptions, your wish has come true. Introducing the ad-free version of the Peace and Parenting podcast available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. As a subscriber, you'll get all the heartfelt advice, parenting stories, and actionable tips you love without any ads. For less than the cost of a coffee each month, you will enjoy uninterrupted listening while also supporting our work to help you build stronger connections with your kids. Try it out for free. Simply find Peace and Parenting on Apple Podcasts, click try free, and you'll gain immediate access to our ad-free episodes. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. So if you're ready for a more peaceful, uninterrupted listening experience, subscribe now. Let's keep focusing on connection without the distractions. Hi, I'm Michelle, a mother of two teens. 13 years ago, I traded in punishments and rewards for connection. Now I prioritize relationship over behaviors, utilize play as a parenting tool, and set limits with empathy instead of consequences. Each week, I share my journey and interview clients, experts, and followers. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle and I have a lovely guest from Instagram who has a parenting question. Hi, Pavlina. Nice to see you. Will you tell us what your parenting question is?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me, Michelle. My question is basically how to stay calm when my initial reaction as a parent when I'm triggered is to go avoidance parenting rather than, you know, do the gentle parenting and do the work and in a sense, basically how to overcome the initial autopilot of really just going avoidance parenting, because that's what came up in my childhood and really try to connect with my child and be a better parent for her and also heal my inner child in a way.
Yeah, that's a big question.
Yeah.
It's a very big question. Your daughter's 2.5, yes?
Yes, she's 2.5.
Yeah. So first of all, don't be so hard on yourself. It sounds like you're upset with yourself that you go to avoidance parenting when, of course, that would make sense for you. If that's what was presented to you in your childhood, then of course, that's what you're going to go to.
Yeah, I think my inner self is trying to feel validated by your words. But I think on the deeper level, I feel like it's just another way for me to make an excuse. So I'm trying to work on that as well, because it's a big task to reform the brain and also the formative years of my own childhood and make it better for my own daughter. So I appreciate your words. I hope to feel them one day myself for myself.
Well, just know that first of all, you've only been doing this for 2.5 years. That's not very long in the scheme of parenting.
Yeah.
And if all of these triggers are brand new for you, then of course it's going to take you time to figure out how to parent.
Yeah. But I also feel like I should not do it at the expense of my daughter's childhood, which I know there is no other way.
Of course, we all want that. That's in a perfect world. We want, we want to be the perfect parent. But I would wonder too, is that part of it? Are you pressuring yourself to be the perfect parent?
Possibly. I realized recently that it also takes away the joy from parenting, because I'm always striving to like be perfect in a way. And it takes away all the games and the little joys that could be fun.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder, maybe that's part of this struggle, that you're not allowing yourself to struggle, that you're not allowing yourself mistakes, that you're not allowing yourself to be dysregulated some of the time. Because if you're here and you're asking these questions and you're working on your stuff, you're doing way more than so many people are doing.
I realize that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if that could be our backdrop, that we don't have to be perfect, that you are going to be dysregulated, you are going to go to avoidance sometimes, just like I'm a yeller, I go to yelling sometimes still, 13 years into this. It's not easy. And these are all new revelations for you. You're just now reparenting yourself. You're just now coming up to your triggers. And so give yourself a minute.
One thing that sort of weighs a bit heavily on me is that, you know, moms are usually seen as the rule keepers and the people who keep the, you know, the order going and so on. But a dad gets to have fun with a kid. And recently I felt a bit sad about it because I see that my daughter now calls my husband to come play with her rather than me from the kitchen.
Yeah. You know,
she would rather tell like, Appa, come sit with me and come play. And for me, actually yesterday, she told me, Mommy, stay in the kitchen. And I was like, oof, this one hurts. I know she didn't mean it. And I know it was probably just, she just wanted to play alone with her toy, a new toy. But I was just like, oof, this one is a bit tough to swallow. But yeah, I just want to be the parent who gets to be seen that, you know, I'm also here to have fun. And
yeah.
I know that comes as well, but.
But I guess we have to, do you think of yourself as a fun person?
I guess the fact that I hesitate means not so much.
So I guess we can't be to our children something we aren't.
Yeah.
And if we want to be a more fun person, I guess we have to cultivate that in ourselves.
Yeah, that's a big revelation for me, actually. I think also ever since I became a mom, you know, myself, I've become a second or third in the row of taking care of. Mm-hmm. And I'm also rediscovering what I like and so on. So if you ask me what I like to do, I would say sleeping sounds good, but that's not a hobby. So
So I think you're doing a lot of self-discovery, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's exhausting, and I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel just yet. I just hope that, you know, one day I get to look back and feel good what I did.
Yeah.
About what I did.
Yeah. It feels like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah. Not sure what to say. I think there's a lot more into it that I still have yet to digest myself because it's like peeling an onion. You know, you peel a layer and you discover there's like 20 more under and then another 20 and... Yeah, and it never ends. And
no, it never ends.
I sort of hope that one day it sort of ends and I get to feel whole or complete and I get to be a present parent. But I always hope it's going to be before my kid is too old to, you know, want to spend time with me or I do some real damage that I really don't want to and so on. I don't want to regret this time because this is, as they say, this is my life's best project or like the biggest project that I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But in all good and big projects, there are moments of mishap. There are places where the project falls apart. There are places where we have to reevaluate how the project's going. It can't be this perfect picture.
Yeah. I just hope the sort of downfalls are not too, how do you say, too groundbreaking in a sense that we don't get to recover from them. That's all.
We always get to recover. Always, no matter what. There's always recovery. There's always repair. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how old our kids are. You will never ruin it.
Thank you for saying this.
Yeah, you will never ruin it. And I promise you that. I have done all the things you are not supposed to do. And I mean all of them. My child is lovely. My oldest just went to college. She's lovely. I have messed up more times than you probably ever will or ever have. But it is a continual process. And like you said about the onions, you're so right. They're never ending. Even when you get to the core, it feels like that last thick layer is the hardest one to get to. But you're here and you care and you can already see, Pavlina, you can already see the places where you need to work. Mm. That's tremendous. You want to be more playful. Try to find a couple of games every single day that you can play with her. Try to find two fun things where you just forget everything, your checklist, your rules, your things to do, your places to go, the dishes, the everything, and you just let go twice a day and you play with her. And you'd be silly. Make yourself do that so you can teach yourself how to be playful. I was the least playful person on earth. I was a high school teacher and I ran my house like a high school classroom. And when my coach told me, you have to get on the floor and play with the kids, I was like, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I'm not playful. I don't want to. And she said, but you have to. And I did. And it made me a better person. It made me a lighter person, a more jovial person.
I think I'm actually very grateful for these struggles in a way, because I feel like the inner me is also healing a lot. But yeah, the playfulness is something that I sometimes feel I never got a chance to experience in my own childhood.
100%.
Yeah.
And we can mourn that, and we can also remedy it all at the same time.
Sorry for tearing up.
No, please do. I think it's so important. I'm so sorry that no one played with you. That wasn't fair. You missed out on that joyous part of your childhood. I did too. And I've had to cry a lot of tears about it.
Yeah, it's something that, as they say, you can forget but never forgive, or the other way around. For me, it's probably I can forget but never forgive in this way to my parents. Yeah.
They didn't know. They really didn't. They didn't, because of their own upbringing, they had no idea what it meant to be jovial, what it meant to have joy, what it meant to play. They weren't given that. But the beautiful thing, Pavlina, is you can forgive them because they did what they could. And now you get to fix it. Before we continue, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. Their support lets us keep bringing you the show completely free. What if you spent the next 30 days really focusing on connection with your kids? What do you think sibling rivalry would look like? How would cooperation go? And what would the feeling be in your home? Join my 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you join me and my coach, Martha, and really explore the ideas of connection. We do group coaching for the entire month, and you have access to all of the Peace and Parenting materials. Please join us for a 30-day challenge. Find the link in the show notes. My book, Unpunished, is finally here. It is my journey into connected parenting, the idea of perfection, and how it nearly took me down as a mom. I give you my best thinking around how to be a connected parent and the insights that I've discovered over the last 12 years of this incredible journey. I'm giving my book away for free, plus shipping and handling. So go to unpunished.com and get yours today. We're shipping domestically, and we're also shipping internationally. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Now back to the show.
One thing that maybe, I don't know if you heard a lot or like had this question is, you know, when you as a child have some issues for your own children, you wish better.
Yeah.
You want them to experience better life, better whatever. And I know that, as you said, their parents were not, you know, playful or were not allowing them. Then why didn't they want better for the child?
It's a good question. I think the knowledge wasn't there. Nobody expected parents to play with kids. People were told not to play with kids. And so I think, you know, it was accepted just to, you provide a nice home, you give food and water, and that's basically the basics. There's so much more knowledge now. There's so much more information now. There's so much more talk about it now. That we are lucky we get to live in that world.
That's true. That's quite true.
They didn't mean to, but not forgiving them only keeps us hardened and sad and upset. It doesn't hurt them, but it does hurt us.
Yeah, I've realized that many times.
Yeah.
But it's such a deep wound that it's just so hard to let it go.
It really is. I talked about my mother wound in a couple of posts ago. I don't know if you saw it, but I talked about how, you know, I didn't have the mother I wanted. I didn't have the stepmother I wanted. I just wanted someone to mother me. And it took me a long time to let that go. A very long time. But this process you're doing now of healing your childhood while parenting your child is going to help you heal too.
It's already started.
Yeah. I think you're doing probably much better than you tell yourself you are.
Thank you.
You did talk about in when you wrote to me that you wanted to stay calmer.
Yep.
And not go to avoidance.
Yep.
So let's talk about that piece. Can you bring up a time when that has happened?
There was a time when my daughter wanted something and threw a tantrum and started to toss food, which is a big trigger for me. And what I did was I sort of emotionally shut down and I just didn't react to anything she was doing. But in a sense, I did not, I knew in a way that something was bothering her. She didn't want to do something, but I sort of didn't investigate like what is going on, or why don't you like the food or whatever was happening. And I just sort of said, like, in a way, I sort of said, like, I'm done talking to you until you start behaving. And this is something that later I regret, because I can see this is going to make me tear up again, because this is such a big regret for me. But like, I could see her eyes being like, I actually want to be closer to you rather than just, I am pushing you away, but I want you to reach in for me. That's right. What her eyes were saying.
Yeah.
And later when I saw it, or like when I realized it, I felt so guilty.
No.
And yeah, I just want to be more present in a way that I realized the sooner when this is happening and not immediately go into the, I'm done talking to you until you behave how I want, because this is not what I expect from her. This is not what I want from her. I want her to be a person of her own. I don't want her to be an extension of myself. So I don't want her to behave like I want her to behave. I want her to be herself. I know that this is a hard emotion and it's really triggering for me. And she knows what my triggers are. So she knows how to push them very effectively. Toddlers are awesome in this. So yeah, just maybe some strategies how to be present.
Yeah. A couple of things. One is, I'm not so sure I believe that toddlers understand our triggers. I think toddlers or teens or middle age, school age kids, they wish we didn't have triggers. They wish that triggers didn't exist.
Okay.
The only reason that we believe, I think, this is my own personal opinion, that we believe that our kids are really good at getting to our triggers is because our triggers are so hairline. The moment something gets to us, we're off to the races with our feelings and emotions. That's us. That's not them finding it. We don't make them hard to find, our triggers. So I think reframing that she isn't purposely finding your triggers and setting them off. She's actually just being a kid. And kids who are 2.5 throw food. Many, many, many do. So I think, that could be a trigger for you. It's not a trigger for me, but that same child is going to throw food no matter what. One other thing that could be super helpful is this idea of empathy, like really leaning into empathy when you see her having her feelings. Because if you think about it, what do you want when you're having big feelings?
I want somebody to sit there with me and maybe not even try to work through them, but just to know that I can lean in on them.
Yes, 100%. You're so smart. And so that's it. We don't need to figure out what food she liked or what food she didn't like or what was happening or ask her questions or get to the root of it or get to the bottom of it. None of it matters. All you have to do is, instead of going into avoidance, all you have to do is go to presence. That's it. It's a very small little step. All you have to go to is, you're having a hard time. I'm right here. I won't leave you when you're upset. That's it.
Thank you. I will definitely try to stay more present in this.
And just empathy, just the tiniest bit of empathy instead of avoidance. We'll just go straight to empathy, because then just keep thinking in your mind, what would you want if you were having a hard time? Because she's showing you she's having a hard time. That's why she's throwing the food. She's struggling. She doesn't want to throw the food. She knows she's not supposed to throw the food. She just doesn't know what else to do. Her feelings are overwhelming her.
Yeah, I know these things, but like in a moment when it just, the trigger just flips the switch, it's like there's nothing else. It's just, I am the right one and what I'm feeling is the correct thing. And whatever she's feeling, it's I don't want to say none of my business right now, but it doesn't affect me.
Right. Is that how your mom was?
Yeah. She just put this sort of stone mask and yeah. I can totally imagine how my daughter feels when this is happening. It doesn't happen often, as often with my own mother, but the couple of times this happened, it affected me so profoundly that, you know, I really realized that I need to work on this. And yeah, I think the cold shoulder or the cold silent treatment is the worst thing my parents ever did to me.
Yeah. It can be very lonely feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. When someone withdraws their love. And especially when it's based on behavior, right? When you feel like, oh, now I have to change my behavior or I'm not going to be loved.
It's definitely a conditional love.
Right. And the beautiful thing is you don't love your daughter conditionally. You love her unconditionally.
Correct.
And she knows that. And if you have slip-ups where you do the wrong thing, it doesn't mean that you've ruined everything and that your unconditional love turns into conditional love. It just means you made a mistake. And you can very well come back and say to her, I'm so sorry I said that. I'm so sorry I did that.
I do that when I realize it. I think she's starting to appreciate it. She started to tell me sometimes, thank you, mommy.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Pavlina, you're not giving yourself enough credit, my love.
One day I get to have this opinion of myself. I think for today, I'm just still learning. So I'm not there yet.
That's okay. And you can still learn. We're all still learning. There's a statistic out there that says we only have to do it right 35% of the time.
Okay. That should be doable. Yes. That's just about, what is a D? Just about a pass.
Yeah. So if we can get there, the statistics say we're okay. Because also, you don't want to model that you're some sort of perfect human being.
Yeah.
You don't want to model that you value perfection. And you don't want to model that you're beating yourself up when you make mistakes because you don't want her to beat herself up when she makes mistakes.
Do you think you could over-apologize to your child?
Yes. I have a podcast on that. It's called The New Apology.
Okay.
And I do really believe you can over-apologize. I used to be an over-apologizer, I think. I was a lot like you, very worried that I was messing everything up all the time. And so then when I did, I would be like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Mommy didn't mean it. You know, I don't mean that. Oh my gosh. And then it was almost like they were like having to tell me, mom, it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. It's okay. Like I was looking for them to relinquish me from responsibility because I felt so guilty. And so that, again, that extra guilt and shame and heaviness around our mistakes creates that over-apology. And now we're holding them accountable for our feelings. So I really believe in like, I'm sorry and I take full responsibility and let's move on. And that's a really good way to just be really simple and matter-of-fact about it.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Listen to that podcast, The New Apology.
I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll do.
Pavlina, thank you so much for coming on. You are so lovely. You're going to do such good things. Don't beat your poor, sweet self up.
Thank you so much as well for these words. And I think it was really nice to, first of all, hear the positive affirmations and also get the advice on how to be more present. Your opinion is quite valued to me. So I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. You're going to do great. I'm so glad you came on. It was lovely to meet you. And thanks for everybody who's listening.
...89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.